Luke 2, 1 to 20. Luke 2, 1 to 20. 156 in the Nestle text. There are some interesting points to this, which I will try to highlight here. There's a lot of verses to go through, but let's start in. I think most of the controversial stuff is more toward the beginning. Egeneta de. Now, egeneta de, and it came to pass in those days, en tais hemerais echinais ex eilthen. And it came to pass in those days a dogma, a decree went out. This is such Septuagint talk, it's unbelievable. First of all, egeneta, and it came to pass, egeneta de, kai egeneta might be a little bit more even Septuagintal. Then, in those days, good prophetic phrase, which is basically eschatological. Note that there is a syndeton here, that is to say, and it came to pass, it went out. There's no that it went out, and it went out, or whatever. You even got the verb in front of the subject, ex eilthen dogma. So this is quite a Septuagintal feel. And it came to pass in those days that a dogma, a decree, went out para from Caesar Augustus. Now, that para is what's normally used when something, especially written things and so on, are issued by people. You don't normally use a pa. Para, Caesar Augustus. Apa graphisthai pasan tain oikumene. Now, this is kind of interesting here. I'm not sure quite how to take this. This should be either to enroll all the inhabited world, or that all the inhabited world get enrolled. So in other words, is pasan tain oikumenein the subject or the object of the infinitive? That is not necessarily clear from this particular construction. Apographisthai is middle, unless you take it that it all be enrolled, in which case it would be passive. My own feeling is that it's probably a middle, that is to say with an active sense, with that additional nuance of the middle, because we have a parallel in verse 5, just a little further along, where it says that Joseph went apagrapsasthai to get enrolled with Mary, his betrothed. So we'll take it that way, and I want you to notice that apagraphisthai is a so-called present infinitive and not an aorist. Now, that can be for several reasons. Number one, it could be that edicts normally used imperatives in the present tense. I just noticed that when I was doing my grad work and reading papyri and stuff like that. Edicts were normally in the present, which gave them a kind of a certain force. It could have the special nuance of begin to be enrolled. Or it could have the nuance that you would get with the focus on connection stem, that they be enrolled and that this go on as a kind of continuing activity. Now, I'll talk about that in just a second a little bit more. But whatever it is, I think a person should note that it is not an aorist, but it is a present. Now, you notice I'm not saying it's a one-time action if it's aorist, but we got to have some extra nuance as a present. Also, if you take it that all the world graphisthai get enrolled, what I'm doing with the middle there is the same as one does with verbs of personal hygiene and grooming. Those are basically the only verbs where you use the middle, which it sounds reflexive, like cut your hair, clothe yourself. I'm not sure it's really reflexive as much as something like this, to get your hair cut, to get yourself clothed. If you know German, it's with the constructions with lassen. Ich lasse das Haus bauen means I'm getting a house built. You know how in English when we say we're building a house out in West County, the question that is sort of asked is like, are you doing it yourself or are you contracting for somebody else to do it? Especially if I'd say we're building a house in the country, let's say. Well, in German, there is the difference that's very obvious, because if you're getting somebody else to do it for you, it's with lassen. And that's the way the middle can be used in Greek as well. So to get themselves enrolled, something like that. Verse 2. Now, verse 2 is very difficult, and I want you to just look at this rather carefully. Haute apographe prote egeneta hegemonointos tes syrias kyreneu. Now, the old King James said, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. Now, you have a problem here, first of all, that haute is this one. Always, when you have the demonstrative, there is an exception, by the way, in Acts 17 on this, but otherwise, the virtual rule here is that when you use the demonstrative pronoun, you've got to have the article with the noun. So if you want to say this apographe, this enrollment, then you should say haute he apographe. Now look at the variant. You see that little T right there? There is the variant. It's the first one of chapter 2 below, where you have the second hand of Aleph and several other ones do, in fact, insert that. In which case you say, this graphe was first, something like that. King James said was first made. Now, if you don't want to insert the hay, of course, you could say that the hay would easily drop out with a haute hay. Remember, they're all written in capitals, so it'd be easy to miss that. However, if you don't want to do that, then you take apographe prote together. Haute separate. Here's how it would go then. This was the first enrollment. This was the first enrollment. I think that's better. I think you're better to go in that direction. So you don't say this enrollment. You separate those two off. Now, egeneta, occurred. I think occurred is good. So the King James, which says this taxing was first made, I think you have a problem with this taxing. If you say this was the first enrollment, that's a little weak on egeneta. This occurred as the first enrollment. You could do it that way. Now I'm going to come back to it in just a second. Then you have hegemonointos. This is a GA, genitive absolute, with Quirinius, Quirinius governing Syria, and that verb takes the genitive. So this Quirinius was governing Syria at the time. All right, now here's the chief thing I wanted to talk about today. You all probably know that there's a difficulty with this. Quirinius was governor of Syria basically from 6 to 9 AD in our figure. Well, this did not occur 6 to 9 AD because Jesus is born at the time of Herod. Herod died at like 4 BC. So the big difficulty has always been, how do you reconcile when Jesus was born with the census with, third point, the governorship of Quirinius? Now, let me just give you a couple of things here that might be of interest to you. First of all, Caesar Augustus reformed the administration of the Roman Empire greatly and standardized a lot of stuff. He conquered Egypt in 30 BC and instituted a census in Egypt in 10 to 9 BC, which census was repeated every 14 years. So beginning with his first, he wasn't Caesar at that time, but Augustus, when he ruled then, instituted that census, and it occurred at regular intervals. Now, it is likely that these regular intervals, but notice I said likely, this is not proven, were extended also to other provinces and territories around there. And we do know that in 6 AD, a census was done. This is referred to in Acts 5:37 with the great Thutis revolt. A census was done, now listen to this, when Archelaus was deposed as Bimbo of Judea. So when he was deposed and exiled to France, to Gaul, they brought in procurator, which was Pontius Pilate. And it was at that time that the census was made. Now, that corresponds pretty well with the Quirinius stuff, but it doesn't correspond real well with the Herod stuff. Well, all right. In addition to that, we have some other interesting problems. What about that prote? What about that prote? Why doesn't he simply say this was occurred as a census while he was governor of Syria? Now, this has led some people to conjecture that the prote is to be understood as a kind of comparative, so that it would have the meaning of prior to. Something like this. This was a census, or occurred as a census, before Quirinius governed Syria. Now, what proof is there that you can take protus that way? Well, go to John chapter 1, verse 15. John 1:15. This is John the Baptist speaking. He says, the second line of 15, this one was the one whom I said, ha episomu, the one coming after me has been empros then, has been before me, now turn the page, because he was protus mu. He was first of me. That is to say, he was prior to me. Now, there's also an interesting example in John 15:18. Go on with that. Go on to that, I mean. 15:18. This is actually a better one. You don't normally find this one in the books. I found this one crumming around in a commentary. If the world hates you, gnoskete, know that me first, memisseken, it has hated, humon. Huh? What's that humon there? Know that it has hated me first than you. That is to say, prior to you. Before you. So, using this as a possible example, it could be that this prote is there and is to be related to the genitive hegemoiontos as prior to this happening. Now, you'll notice that manuscript Aleph as well as D, I'm back in Luke 2, reverses the word order egeneto prote. Now, if it reverses the word order, then it's even more likely. So then you would have something like this occurred as an apographe prote before he was governor of Syria. All right, a couple of other observations. It is interesting that Tertullian talks about a census being done at this time under Sentius Saturninus, which was a different governor of Syria. This was at the time of around 6 BC, but he relates this to a different guy, a different guy. However, evidence has come to light recently that it is possible that Quirinius was governor earlier than his regular 6 to 9 AD stint. That is to say, that he might have been a kind of a more general governor of the East earlier, or even this, they found inscriptions which indicate that at that time in Syria, or during this time in Syria, there were sometimes two governors, one who was the military governor, a military head, and the other who was the administrative civil head. And so it could be that the evidence that we have of somebody like Saturninus being the governor is that he was the one governor and Quirinius was the other governor, I think specifically in this scheme, the military guy, because he in fact was involved in suppressing a revolt up in the Turkish area at that time. But then, of course, later on, he became governor as well. So, if I can kind of summarize this now, you've got several options here, assuming you're not thinking that Luke just kind of blew it. All right? And it's likely that he did not simply blow it, not only because of our view of inerrancy, but simply because there are all kinds of very accurate things that Luke does with Roman administration, not the least of which is using the verb hegemonoio, which is only used for the governor of imperial provinces, those under the emperor, rather than senatorial provinces, those under the Senate. And Syria was an imperial province. So he's even got the right term for this here, see? So your options are that Quirinius was governor at this time, one of two governors of Syria who were co-regents. Another option is that he was a more general generalissimo of the East. Another option is that we take prote as a comparative, and therefore it be this occurred before Quirinius was governor of Syria. I think those are your basic options. Yeah. No, it's not actually specifically recorded. We know there was one in Palestine in 6, which occasioned a great riot. However, it's not that one. See, that's kind of the higher critical view, is that that's the one he's kind of getting them mixed up. Except, I mean, this is Veltz's rule number 6 or something, that a guy doesn't usually forget what he wrote in the other part of the book, you know, that basically when he's got Acts and he's talking about it, he should know what he's talking about here. So, it's not like we only know about the Thutis thing from some other thing. Luke himself writes about that. So, we don't know about one specifically. However, these things were going on in other provinces at the time, and indeed, there was a difficulty with Herod the Great at this time with the Roman people, toward the end of his career, and the Romans were coming in and doing other stuff like this that were kind of not always recorded. So there are some interesting difficulties on more or less any solution that you've got. But people have pointed out that the key is kind of the word prote. And nobody can quite figure what that's doing there, because you'd think he would have simply said, this census occurred while he was governor of Syria. You know, I mean, what exactly is the prote about there? And I must say, I'm sort of attracted, not to the thing that there were two governors of Syria, but to taking prote as prior to, taking it in that sense. And I think that does actually work as a
problem. Why did you bring up Quirinius? This was the big one. Why even mention it then? This was the earlier one.
I'm not sure I see your point.
Why even talk about Quirinius? Why bring that up at all?
Well, because everybody knew about that one in 5. Yeah.
I think strengthens your hand very much that they're counting this one by reference to the other one.
Yeah, yeah, that's right, that's right. You'll notice in this description, good, that the King James rendering, this taxing was first made when Quirinius was governor of Syria, doesn't really speak to anything. I mean, it's kind of a crazy sort of notion if you think about it. What point are they making here exactly? Yeah, 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 that's exactly right. Yeah.
Well, it just struck me in your examples from John, this, in a sense of prior, that there's almost a sense in the examples that it's not only prior in the sense of time, but there's also kind of a sense of greater than. I don't know, are there other instances, you know what I'm saying, where Jesus, or where John says, not only does he...
Yeah, yeah, no, I know it, yeah, yeah.
He supersedes me.
Supersedes, yeah.
And the same thing in the other one. Are there examples where this is used just for time, just to show prior?
There is an example in the papyrus I found this morning that did not look like it had that other sense of greater than. Right. It's from Berlin papyrus that they found. But now, to be fair, that one was 3rd century A.D. Yeah, but that's I thought about that point, too. Yeah. Although, I think that adverbial use in the John 15:18 text, they hated me first, I think that sort of diminishes that greater importance thing. I mean, you know, it's that don't be surprised with this. They did it to me, they'll do it to you. Now, obviously, he's greater, but I almost think that you got the thing, the string is going now, and you're in the loop, so to speak. Yeah. I don't think that that's right, that there were two different guys named Quirinius. I don't think that that's right. I've looked at a number of different places on this. If you want to read this for yourself with as much detail as you care to assimilate, take a look at I. Howard Marshall's commentary on Luke, which is what I use mainly supplemented by some other stuff. But he's more or less got all the options and all the problems. No, even the option that Luke went wrong has its own problems, you know, in terms of figuring he wrote Acts and stuff like that. So there is a little bit of difficulty here. There's something odd about the Greek, particularly with that haute apographe. It is strange. So you got a bunch of manuscripts trying to put hey in there. Then you got some other manuscripts reversing the word order of prote and agenita. So apparently the scribes felt there were difficulties. Yes?
How important is that textual agreement of switching prote against to seeing it as before? How important is that?
I don't know. I think switching it strengthens the hand of doing it, because the examples I've looked at, including the one, Dan, from the papyri, does have prote next to the genitive of comparison. Right, that's a correct point that you're making there. No, okay. With how accurate Luke is, like in chapter 3, when he's talking about the appearance of John and so on like that, and he talks about Pontius Pilate ruling in Judea and so on, I think there's got to be, I'm even speaking now as sort of a classicist, there's got to be an explanation for this. It doesn't seem like he just plain went wrong, and there are just, you know, several possibilities, one of which is the double regnum up in Syria. Of course, you know, I think of this kind of thing every time I hear, this is more like some of these problems with Daniel and Old Testament stuff, is every time I hear the news say something like the following. President Jimmy Carter went to Haiti. Well, now imagine you're 200 or 300 years later. When was Jimmy Carter president? Was he president in 1994? They're always talking like that. And they don't say former President Jimmy Carter. So, you know, that kind of thing is very customary talk, and I think it screws up terribly the accuracy in which you can do this kind of stuff. Okay, 3. Kai eporoionta pontes apographistai. All right? And now here's a good example, that middle. And all journeyed to get themselves enrolled. There's that use of the middle. This is the, Andy, you weren't here when I said this. This is the Lassen construction, Lassenbauen in Germany, in German, where you're getting this thing done. You're not doing it yourself necessarily. Right. Hekastus, each one unto the city of his own. His own city. That's kind of unnatural. You'll notice that there are variants with ideon, one's own city, one's own area, and so forth. Now, I better maybe comment after we do verse 4. On ebe dekai Yosef apotes Galileas ek poleos Nazareth, and Joseph walked up, remember anapaino is generally foot travel, from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth unto Judea, unto the city of David, Hatus, which is called Bethlehem. Now, Hatus is a relative pronoun. I think it's often used in non-restrictive clauses, and this would be an example of one. Bethlehem, which, by the way, is habitually called Kalaitai, third person singular, present indicative passive, and that would be used because it is habitually referred to this way, which is called Bethlehem. Diata, on account of the fact, diata einai autan. On account of the fact that he, now ton is the subject of Einai, that he was ex oiku of the house and patrias, at lineage line of David. Now, there's a good example of oikos not meaning building, but house, not household either, the house line of something. You don't use oikia that way. All right, now, I better do five here. Apa grapsastai. Now, notice the aorist is used here now, the aorist middle, to get himself enrolled with Mary, the promised to him female singular one, being enkyo, being pregnant, while she was pregnant. Mnestoi mene, let me parse that. Mnestoio is to promise. This is a perfect passive participle, meaning the promise to him one. She had already been promised, and now she was engaged. I mean, actually, we use the perfect passive when we use the word engaged. Engaged, same thing. Now, you notice that the general principle here, that people, everybody went to be enrolled, you kind of see this depiction of the repeated activity all over the place in the so-called present participle. Now when we go to an individual instance, we go down to the aorist, which is kind of your default mode at this point. All right, now, who had to go be enrolled? Well, that itself is an interesting point. Apparently, according to the Marshall commentary, you didn't have to go elsewhere to be enrolled, only if you had property. And he said it's quite possible that Joseph was involved with property, being of the lineage of David and so on, back in the Bethlehem area, so that he would have had to go back there with property. If you didn't have property, then you could just be enrolled where you were. There's a question as to whether women had to be enrolled or not. In the Syrian province, apparently they did, whereas in Italy they didn't have to be. Use enkyo, at the end there, use is a participle of the verb to be, and that is in predicate position, and so we would say while she was pregnant. 6. Egenata de, and it came to pass, en to einai autus, while they were ekai there, so that's one of those en to plus the participle constructions. A place they san hai hemerai to tekain autain. This is what happened. The days a place they san were filled up. And I think that Luke uses pimplemi here, this epleistheson. We talked about this last time, I think. Pimplemi, an old me verb. The pim goes off the front for the rest of the principal parts beside number one, and so you get epleisthein in number six. The days were fulfilled. He doesn't use plero. Oh, I don't think he's talking about the fulfillment of prophecy. He's just saying the days came to their termination. Tu tekein autein, that she bear a child. Note the use. This is good Septuagint usage. Tu plus the infinitive as the equivalent of the infinitive. So if you take a pen or take your little finger and just cover up the word tu, that would be a more proper way to say it. The days were fulfilled that she bare a child. But with two plus the infinitive was a way the Septuagint started to do it. I think autain is clearly here the subject of the infinitive tekain, which is an aorist active. Kai eteken, and she brought forth her son, ton pro totokon, the firstborn one, and Sparganosen. Sparganao means to wrap in clothing, swaddling clothes, clothes that you wrap around in between the legs of the kid. And she swaddled him, and on eklinen, and set him up, made him recline in a fatne,